Galatians chapter 6. We're going to read verses 13 through 18 together. We'll read this passage responsively, then we'll have a special song, and then I'm going to come back and preach to you. Galatians chapter 6, verses 13 through 18. It's after Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians, before the book of Ephesians. If you put your finger in the book of Concordance, you'll figure it out real fast what page. Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 13 through 18 together. And again, let's read responsively. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Now please, Lord, all week long I have begged you to be a blessing and a help to your people. This is the hour. This is the time. I pray that you'd give me the hearts and the mind of your people so that the word of God could do its work in them. May you change our hearts today, change our lives, and may we walk away with a better understanding of ourselves and of you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I beg you to give me your attention today. I don't often do that, but probably the most important sermon you'll hear in your life as a Christian or somebody that may become a Christian soon. All of us struggle living the Christian life.
Yes, sir.
All of us struggle being what we should be as a Christian. It is no secret that we're all sinners. Just because someone gets saved does not mean they stop sinning. Let me say that again. Just because someone gets saved does not mean that we stop sinning. This is where the struggle of the Christian life comes into play. You have a battle of being saved, but still have the battle of sin in your life. I want you to understand something. Being a Christian does not mean you're sinless or perfect. Now, according to Acts chapter 11, verse 26, it says that they were called Christians first in Antioch. Did you know the term Christian never came about during the life of Christ here on earth? It wasn't until years later. Decades later. And the word Christian does not mean Christ-like. It means follower of Christ. It doesn't. Did you know you can follow someone and not be exactly identical to them? Brother Stoltz follows me. Follow me, Brother Stoltz. Just because he follows me does not mean he looks like me. I have more hair and I'm better looking and much younger. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. He's following me, but he is not exactly like me. So just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you are to be identical to Christ. Now, I believe this. We ought to be more like him than we are like us. God doesn't expect you to be perfect when you get saved because he knows you can't be because you're a sinner. And by the way, anybody that expects you to be perfect is showing how imperfect they are. God does want us to live as closely as we can by his word because he knows how our sin will destroy us and make us miserable while we are living here. Now, let me say this. The moment you get saved, your sin debt is cared for, past, present, and future.
Lord,
that means the moment
you decide you cannot make it to heaven by being a good person, being baptized, joining a church, living a good life. By holy confession or holy communion or holy cow or whatever, by anything that you do, but the moment you say, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, Jesus is that Savior, He paid it with His blood, and I trust that to take me to heaven, that moment your sins are cared for.
Amen.
They're washed away. The Bible says they're as far as the east is from the west. They're buried in the depths of the sea, and God cannot see your sin because it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's no way you could lose it. But wait a minute. The law of sowing and reaping is still here. Just because your sin debt is cared for doesn't mean you're still not going to pay the price down here. Just because I'm saved, if I'm doing 55 miles an hour in a school zone, I'm going to get a ticket.
Yes.
You look at the police officer and say, well, I'm saved. It's already cared for. They're going to put you in handcuffs and take you somewhere to take care of it. Now, wait a minute. Did you know that there was a curse placed on the earth because of sin?
Yes.
The weeds and some of the destruction of the earth and the weather and different things. That's all part of the curse of the earth. We still feel the effects of it because of sin. And I'm not going to go any farther there. But when you get saved, your judgment for your sin is cared for. Do you know I never have to face hell?
Amen.
I never have to worry about facing God for my sins. Back in the 70s, I heard a preacher come to my church and he said, bless God, you better get right. When you get to heaven, God's going to put your life on a movie screen and everybody's going to see all the bad things you did. Guess what? That preacher was wrong. My Bible says that he'll say, what sins are you talking about? I don't see any. Because we have a mediator. His name is Jesus Christ, saying, God, it's under the blood. I took care of it. It's paid for. It's already been cared for. Now, you don't stop sinning because you got saved, because you're still a sinner. When a person gets saved, the Bible uses the term, you're born again. John chapter 3. But we're not born of corruptible seed, we're born of incorruptible seed. That word saved, there's another word for it. It means regenerated or regened. That's not talking about a pair of blue jeans either. The word gene there is the word genetics. Hello. That means the moment you get saved, you get the eternal genetics of God put into your life. According to Galatians chapter 6, verse number 15, the Bible says, for in Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It doesn't say everything is new. It says it becomes new. That word become in the Greek is in the linear sense, in the linear tense. It means be becoming. Everything will be becoming and be becoming new as you continue on, and it never stops. And God says that word regened allows us to become, twice in Scripture at least, it talks about us being a new creature. Now watch this. When you get saved, you get born again, the Bible says you're a new creature, and you get God's genetics placed spiritually into your life. Now, listen to this statement. The whole sermon hinges on this. Regeneration does not make you a good person. It makes goodness available to you. Regeneration does not make you spiritual. It makes spirituality available to you. May 23rd, 1967, I was born. I was born with the genetics of my mom and dad, who are in Florida for the winter. But about 4.5 years later, in 1972, at the Canton Baptist Temple in a primary church on the second floor, with a one-legged Vietnam veteran preaching up there, I realized I was headed to hell and needed a Savior, and kneeling beside a little kindergartner-sized chair, my Sunday school teacher opened the Bible, showed me how to get saved, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Wait a minute. I got the genetics of God added to my life. Did you know I did not lose my parents' genetics in me? Case in point, 2 weeks ago I had a kidney stone. That's part of my genetics. Goes all the way back past my great-grandparents. On my dad's side. That is a Bush trait. Kidney stones. I could have passed, no pun intended, on that trait. Amen. 8 kidney stones is more than one human should ever have to take care of in a lifetime. Now wait a minute. I didn't lose my first genes by getting saved. God added his genetics to what I am and made me a new creature. Now watch this. When a person gets saved, they don't get rid of who they are or what they have done and become a totally new person. Bam. But when a person gets saved, you add the new creature to the old creature that is already there. You have an old nature and you have a new nature. Now, some of you have two different personalities. They make medication for that. All right. This new creature or these new genes don't make you good or spiritual. The new creature is available to you to either control you or you let your old creature control you.
Yes.
Here is the struggle in the Christian life. You have a battle going on inside you between the old creature and the new creature. The old creature's always there, but the new creature's always there too.
Yes.
Which one are you going to listen to? Which one are you going to become more like? You see, you choose every moment which one you will listen to. When that person pulls out in front of you, is it the new creature or the old creature? When your husband or wife says something that makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up, is it the old creature or the new creature or the doghouse? This is why sometimes as a Christian, we do real well. This is why as a Christian, sometimes we really mess up. You have an old creature and a new creature all at the same time. That's why you live like a Christian for a while and then you mess it up and say, how in the world did I mess it up that bad? Now, listen to this very carefully. Our goal should be to be more like what God wants us with the new creature and less like we were with the old creature. That's what living the Christian life is all about. That's that be becoming a new creature in Christ. The hungrier the old creature gets, the louder it will scream to be heard. Let me say that again. The more you starve the old creature, the louder he's going to get. Kind of like the baby. You know, you bring him home from the hospital, and at 2:00 in the morning, that puppy's lying through its stinking teeth because it wakes up screaming, and you think it's going to die, and it's all it is hungry. You pop a bottle in that thing's mouth and, man, shuts it up right away. Burp it a couple times, wrap it up tight, put it back to bed, and stay awake the rest of the night. Go to sleep. Now, wait a minute. The hungrier you get, the louder you get. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. He comes home from work. He doesn't care what it is, but it better be on the table because he's about ready to eat a bear. Now, fellas, every one of you have enough on you. You're not going to die if you passed up part of a meal or it was a little bit late. Not a one of us.
Amen, preacher.
You know, most men are like reverse camels. They got the hump on the front instead of the back. Now, the new creature, here's where the... That one hurt, didn't it? I resemble that remark myself. Now, wait a minute. The new creature, though, doesn't clamor for your time. The old creature is constantly yelling and screaming and hollering, but the new creature doesn't push himself. Do you know that God never came down and slapped somebody and pushed them on their face and said, get saved or else? Spiritual things don't clamor for your time. You have to want it. Now, I'm going to show you four things that you think you got at salvation, but you actually just got access to because you got saved. And as a new creature, a new gene, a new person, you have to decide what area you'll yield to. And this is where the crux of the struggle of the Christian life. Now, I've laid a foundation. I have about 25 or 30 minutes. I really need you to listen. This will change your life. Number one, sanctification or separation. The word sanctify means set apart. We think just because we get saved, shazam, everything changes. Let me show you what I mean. And I've heard every one of these statements. If you got what I got, you'd change like I did. That's not a true statement. When I got saved, God took my desire away for cigarettes, or God took my temper away. God took my drinking away. No, that's not a true statement. You decided you would yield to the new creature, but God didn't take it away. It's still there. If you don't love God like I do, you must not have got what I got. That's a Pharisee statement. Let's see here. Brother Mike, I know you and Miss Arlene love each other. But you know you don't love her like I love her. Say why. You ain't married to her and I'm not married to her. And we both are all four ought to say thank God. Amen? Yeah. Now wait a minute. You better snuggle up to her right now because you're about to get an elbow where you shouldn't. Wait a minute. Just because I love my wife differently than you love your wife doesn't mean I'm right and you're wrong or you're right and I'm wrong. As long as we're both loving. Everybody understand that? Why is it that somebody has to be exactly like you or they didn't get what you got? I have three children. Did you know none of them puppies are alike? All three are totally different. My son Jeff was home with us this last week. Jeff is total different temperament than the other two, and I mean opposite worlds. Now wait a minute. Then you got my daughter. Little Miss Social Butterfly. Miss Control Freak. I mean, gotta love her to death. But then you got Josh. Way out there. He's like the Apostle Peter. Run and talk before you think and look where you're going. But he's finally got it. At least he's going the right direction. Now, wait a minute. My son Josh is an assistant pastor in Miami, Florida. My son Jeff is getting ready to go to the police academy in Lexington, Kentucky. My daughter's in Bible college right now. Three totally different kids. Came from the same mom and dad. The same genetics. But they're three totally different people. The new creature or the new nature gives you a choice to choose good after you're saved. It does not force you to choose good. Let me say that again. The new nature, the new creature does not make you good. It gives you the choice of good as a Christian because the old nature is still there. Let me take a verse. Let me read couple verses to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved brethren, flee from idolatry. I'm sorry. Now, wait a minute. God says that temptation's common to man. And he said, but you don't have to allow that temptation to get you. You can get through it if you'll yield to the new nature instead of the old nature. But if you yield to the old nature, you will fall. Let me keep going here. I've got to hurry. God doesn't make you love when you get saved. He makes love available for you when you get saved. Let me say that again. God does not make you love when you get saved, but God makes love available when you get saved. Did you know that an unsaved person has no choice? He can try to clean up the old nature, but that's the best he can do. He doesn't have a new nature.
Right.
Now, that's why man's religion is always trying to polish up the old nature. But you got to live right. You got to feel this. Now, I'll get into that in a minute. When someone gets born again, he doesn't become a new creature. He has a new creature. Let me say that again. He isn't instantly a new creature. He has a new creature placed in him, and he has it available to grow and to control him.
Yes, sir.
You don't become immediately a new person the moment you get saved. Brother Fred, I sat in your living room and won you to Christ. For months, that old hard-headed, stubborn man said, well, I want to make sure I'm going to feel it or change. And I said, you may not, but once you get it, you're going to know you got it.
Yes.
Well, bless God, he got it.
Amen.
Took a while to get through his thick head. The only thing thicker than his head was mine, not giving up. Keep hitting him with the gospel gun. Now, that means this. A saved person has two natures, an old one and a new one. One that's sinful, one that is spiritual from God. And it makes goodness available to you, but it does not change the fact that you still have this one. This is why often there's a big change right after you get saved. There's an excitement. There's an enthusiasm. There may even be some changes in your lifestyle after you get saved. Can I tell you why? Because it's new. How many of you have ever gotten a new car? First thing you want to do is show everybody. Say why? Because it's new. I remember the first time my first car was a 1966 Mercury Comet. A little 289 V8 in it. Man, that thing would run. I did not know this thing had a unibody on it. Brother Mike, I should have died in that car so many times. Oh, the unibody rusted off to the point where we had to weld. I mean, you stepped on the brake, and the whole car pulled to the right, and you had to hold on to the steering wheel just to keep it from going off. I mean, literally going off the road. I had just driven it down Route 30, and I won't tell you how fast I was going because it was more than double the speed limit. Literally. I had that thing up to 120. My dad said, let's check that unibody on that thing. We lifted the front end of the car up, and the front right quarter panel went, and fell off almost. We had to take our quarter-inch angle iron and weld that panel back on. I'm thinking, man, I should have been splattered all over the road. Now, wait a minute. I like that car. I remember selling it. I told the guy, don't drive it. It's going to fall apart. He got it three blocks away or four blocks away, and the old front end fell off. He came back to make a phone call. That was before cell phones. I said, I told you. He said, I know you did. I thought I could drive it, but you were right. And he made his phone call and got it towed away in pieces. It was great. Now, wait a minute. I was showing that car off. Then I got my next car, 1975 Ford Granada Ghia with a 302 in it. It couldn't squeal a tire one, but it just sat down and went, whoosh. Say, how do you know? None of your business. Now, wait a minute. The old nature didn't go away. My wife knows dream car for me is a Mustang, but I refuse to go buy one. Say, why? Because I don't want to pay the tickets. If you got all that under the hood, why have it and not use it?
Amen.
It just doesn't make sense. So why tempt me? And I won't own one. You say, you don't want it? I said, I didn't say I didn't want it. I'm not going to own one because I know me. I know the old nature. Now, wait a minute. When you get saved, Christianity and the new creature in you becomes new, and you become enchanted with it, and you start leaning that direction. But when the new nature quits being new, the old nature's back there yelping at you. And you say, it's been a while since I've been back over there. It's starting to look good again. And you start headed this direction. Guess what? That's why we call it backsliding. That's why you mess up after you get saved. Because the old nature keeps pulling and calling for you. You know, soul winning, when you first do it, man, is it fun. If you've done it for nearly 40 years like I have, I hate to tell you, it could lose its fun every once in a while. Sometimes you do it because you're supposed to, not really because you want to. Say, well, if you're not going to do it with a good attitude, don't do it at all. Tell my daddy that when he said take the trash out. It didn't matter what my attitude was, it just had to go. Amen? Reading your Bible is fun when it's new and it's exciting. You read through it as many times as I have, and you have to make it new and exciting to you. I read through my entire Bible just in my casual Bible reading 3.5, almost 4 times last year. I've been doing that for many, many years. I promise you, I have read through the Bible cover to cover over 100 times in my life. I know thousands of verses to memory. And yet I have to read it and study it every day because it's a living book. Prayer is fun when it's new. You wait till prayer becomes work. You wait till you prayed and didn't get the answer you wanted. Ouch. Prayer is not rubbing the bottle and a genie pops out and gives you whatever you ask for. When prayer quits being fun, usually we quit doing it. Now, the old creature is still there, waiting to pull you away. That's why the world's religion tries to doctor up the flesh. Oh, just come to church and get baptized and you take care of your sins. Oh, come join the church and all your sins will be cared for. Do the Lord's Supper or communion and you can have your sins washed away. Those are things we do. Oh, I got you. Fall down on the floor and flip and flop like a fish out of water and speak some unknown language and you can say you got it. No. That's man trying to polish up the old nature. It doesn't have anything to do with the new nature. Now, how do we limit this going back and forth from the old nature to the new nature? According to Romans chapter 13, verse number 4, the Bible says, make not provision for the flesh. Yes. That word provision means schedule or food. Don't make time in your schedule for the old nature. Brother Stoltz, I don't have time for rock music. Can I tell you why? Kept myself so busy with the new nature, I don't schedule myself to be around the bad music. I don't have time to be around the country western music, Brother Mike. I don't have time to be around the liberal southern gospel music, Brother Jimbo. Bunch of long-haired maggots singing God's music, singing in a nightclub on Friday and Saturday night, and singing in a Christian concert later. I don't have time for that mess. Whatever happened to Zion's Hill? Amen? Brother Stoltz getting his git fiddle up here and strumming away and singing. I'll take that any day. Now, wait a minute. When you get saved, God's eternal genetics, the incorruptible word of God, regeneticized you. This book right here is where you get your spiritual genetics. We are saved by the washing of the Word of God. That's why the Word of God is so important to the Christian. Now listen to this. That's why having the right Bible is important. That's why the Bible is the incorruptible seed. Man's Bibles are corruptible. God's Bible's not. Well, which one do I use? King James Bible. Period. End of discussion. Anything else is written by man. Man is sinful. Man is corruptible. That's old creature.
That's right.
Well, we just made it plainer for everybody to understand. So man knows more than God? Don't plan activities in your schedule for the old creature. Some of you came, oh, Brother Mike came out of a drinking background. You know, he probably ought not play in activities where there's drinking. Brother Stoltz came from a rock music background, so he doesn't play in activities around bad music. I could go on. I got to hurry here. Don't plan people of your old nature into your schedule. Do you know there are those from your past that'll try to pull you back? Man, they're out there all the time. So why do we hang around them? Why do we want to get on a computer and talk to them by Facebook? Ouch. Why do we want... Folks, if you haven't talked to them in 20 years, you ain't got much to say to them now.
That's right.
I hate to disappoint you. They follow me on... What's that little birdie thing?
Twitter.
That's it, Twitter. Good night. Ain't no real man in the world going to Twitter.
Nope.
Sorry. If you Twitter, flitter, or jiggle, you need to get out there with those other people with rainbows. We plan too much time with people that aren't doing what they're supposed to do for the old nature. Don't plan entertainment around things of your old nature. I know. You were at Sheets and heard a song that you listened to when you was 14 years old. And buddy, you could sing the words and you knew everything about it. Well, then be careful. Now, I didn't come out of some of those things. Some of those things don't bother me. I have a way of turning everything in the world off. I can walk into something and it can be blaring and just lock it out and it does not bother me. There are some of you, you came out of that culture, so it draws you back. I grew up in the 70s. There's not a bit of the rock music of the 70s and 80s that appeals to me. Zero. Especially the disco music. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you do. We all have grayer hair than we did then, or less hair. Now, wait a minute. I remember those days. You know, I have no desire for the white suits with the big bell-bottom breeches and the ties that were about that wide and the vest. You know, what an ugly... And we're going back to that mess. Yeah, I'm not. I didn't go for it then, not going for it now. Don't plan your entertainment around the old creature. You will not be good because you're saved. You have good available to you because you're saved. Be careful judging someone else's spirituality because you have the same old nature they have. By the way, that's why what the world calls church discipline is stupid. It'll be a cold day where the booger man lives. Before I get up in church, let's say that a young man like Josh goes out and does something stupid, which he probably will because that's what all young men do. All right? But let's say Josh goes out and messes up a little bit of his life. But Josh wants to get it right. You know, guess what? I'm not going to bring him to church, stand him up here and say, okay, everybody, this is what Josh did, and you need to forgive him for it. You can't forgive him for it anyway. God has to be the one to forgive
That's
his
right.
sin,
That's
and
right.
it's none of your business what he
Amen.
Did.
Amen.
Just shut your pharisaical mouth up and quit talking about it.
Amen.
My Bible says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one.
That's right.
You don't have to know what he did, just restore him. By the way, that's how this preacher lives, just so you know. Thank God for it.
Amen.
Fill your schedule to feed and help the new creature. That's what church is about. That's what soul winning is about. That's what your Bible's about. Prayer, music, Sunday school, activities, friends, fellowship. Hey, get your life filled up to feed and to nurture the new creature.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, you Christians, you're all just a bunch of weirdos. Have you ever seen what the people out in the world look like? You know, you walk in and it's half man, half woman. It's got different colored hair. It doesn't even know what bathroom to go into. And they want to call me weird? Yeah, I go to the store in their pajamas and slippers. And they want to call me weird? I got to hurry here. Good night. Let me say this. people don't fall into sin. They jump back into it because they go back to the old nature. You don't fall into it. You go back to it by not being around the new creature. You don't lose your salvation. You just choose the old creature. I got to hurry. Second thing that you thought you got, but you really didn't get it, it was just made available, is something called reconciliation, or being reconciled with God. This means a closeness with God. Did you know just because you got saved, it doesn't make you close to God? You have access to be close to God. It does not make you close to God. My oldest son is married. My daughter-in-law is Ruth Ann. We don't call her our daughter-in-law. We call her our daughter. Do you know I have a closeness with Ruth Ann? My wife has a closeness with her. Not because her last name is Bush, though that's part of it. We built a relationship. I remember the first time we met. It wasn't close. It wasn't her fault. Wasn't our fault. It was just one of those awkward moments, you know? I'll tell that story later. But when they got married, there was a closeness that's available. Do you know what? Every time she texts me, she calls me Dad. Man, I love that. She's working in the same church where her dad is an assistant pastor and her boss. But she calls me Dad too. Not falsely. There's a closeness there. And we've developed that closeness. It wasn't automatically, Shazam, we're close. It takes time to build. And when you got saved, you weren't immediately close to God. Now watch this. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, that I may know whom I have believed. Let me show you what that means. I now know whom I have, past tense, believed. Present tense, I now know. Past tense, whom I did believe. That's growth. Yes. My wife and I started dating October 10th, 1987. Ooh, pretty good. And I didn't even write that down. I'm not going there. I happen to remember because it's the Day of Atonement. Amen. there was a sacrifice made. Amen.
By her.
Yeah, by her. Now, wait a minute. We started dating in October. We started getting to know each other. We've been married for 28 and a half years. Do you know we're closer now than we were then? Thank God. We got married June 24th, 1989. We thought we were close. You know, we're closer now than we were on our honeymoon. Everybody doing all right? Say, what is that? That relationship brought us close. We thought we were close when we first met. Man, we had miles to go. Decades to cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20 says, be reconciled to God. That was written to the church at Corinth to saved people. Yeah. Be ye reconciled to God. Get yourself close to God. That was written to save people. That means a saved person isn't always close to God.
Right.
Man, I got to hurry here. That old nature pulls us away from God. So you need the new nature to bring you back closer to God. That's why the modern fleshly religion is all about the flesh and the carnal life. Oh, let's all jump up and swing and sway to the music and wave our hands and have a praise and worship service. Oh, can't you just feel the spirit? I don't know what spirit you're feeling, but you won't find one of those anywhere in the Bible.
Yes, sir, that's right.
Nobody says you had to feel it. God says obey it.
Amen.
Right. You obey it enough, you're going to feel it. Everybody doing all right? That's why, well, if you weren't saved, sanctified, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and speak in tongues, you didn't get it. Well, that's nowhere in Scripture. That's why you have churches that are trying to drop their standards. Yeah. Come as you are. What's the, I call it the outhouse, the living room thing. Community church style. Come in your slippers and your PJs. Let's have a rock band. You see signs everywhere for these churches, and you see the smoke and the rock bands on the, and come worship in a new generation. I happen to have an old God, and he hadn't changed. God's not impressed with man's attempt. It's all it is adding to the flesh. Then you got your power of positive thinking people. You know, your Joel Osteens. Weirdos. Well, just think positively and everything will be all right. I can be positive that my keys aren't going to fall if I drop them, but guess what? They fall. It's called the law of gravity. I don't care how many times you think they're not going to fall. Well, you didn't have enough faith. I got enough sense. Number three, I got to hurry. At salvation, you become a child of God positionally, but you don't become a close child of God practically. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18. I won't take time to turn there, but let me say this about it. I will be a father unto you. Watch this. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Then he says, I will be a father unto you. Now, let me say this. Rules and separation are for freedom from the world so that we can be close to God. Yes, sir. It's going to rob your flesh of what your flesh wants. But it will bring closeness to your God. I had one of my children decided as after they turned 18 that they didn't want to live the Christian life. And I said, Mom and Dad love you. But if you're going to live like that, there's the door. Find your own place to live. You're welcome back. Come visit. But as long as you don't abide by the way we live scripturally and refuse to, you just lost your place to live for free. And for a couple of years, he wandered. Now, wait a minute. You think that was easy on me? But that's why it's 6 o'clock this morning. I'd already texted him at 4:45 this morning. And I got a text from him that says, thanks, Dad. I love you too. Oh, he's an assistant pastor in Florida, by the way. Getting ready. He's probably preaching right now. He was my child, but he lost some position there. The closeness was gone. The rebellion kept him from being close to his mom and his dad and his brother and his sister. It wasn't our choice, that was his choice. Now, wait a minute. You have the same rules available to you. Are you going to live them to get close to God, or are you going to live them because of your old nature? You may be saved and have the family name, but you're not living in the same house with the Father right now. You can't live like, dress like, hang around the world like, talk like the world, and listen to the music of the world, and be a close child of God. It's impossible. It doesn't mean that you're not his child, but you're not living in the same house with him. My son didn't stop being my son. I never one time saw him in that time and said, I hate you. I always said, I love you. Always. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be a close child of God. I don't just want the family name. I want to get up close. Number four, and I'm done. The Holy Spirit becomes available to every saved person. But he does not control every saved person. when you got saved, when you got born again, according to John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If you notice, there's two different spirits mentioned there. One's capital, one's small. That which is born of the Holy Spirit is man's spirit. You are regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, and the Bible says that the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in and indwells you. But guess what? It doesn't mean he controls you. You have to yield to him for him to do his work. He is available to you, but that does not mean he will control you unless you allow him to do so. Did you know that the Holy Spirit of God will only do his work if you ask him to? I love people, but I don't force them to do anything. You know, I'm not going to force my way on anybody. I talked to a man this week. Asked him if he was saved. Told me he got saved about 40 years ago. He said, but I haven't lived it. He said, some will tell you I'm not saved. But he said, I can take you right to the time, the place. Gave me the clear-cut testimony. He's as saved as you and me. And I said, I'm not here to force it on you. He said, I know that. That's why I keep coming to church. He said, I need to get baptized. Been over 40 years since I got saved, never got baptized. He said, you got me. He said, I'm going to make it happen here real soon. Now, wait a minute. I'm not going to force anybody. Did you know that the Holy Spirit will not cleanse you, lead you, guide you, strengthen you, comfort you, or direct you until you ask him to? Not going to do it. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to Rich Stoltz and say, okay, let me lead you. Oops. Okay, I didn't break it. Whew, scared me to death. The Holy Spirit doesn't say, I'm going to comfort you and rub his little head and pat his little belly. No, he has to ask the Holy Spirit if he needs help. Because the Holy Spirit is there waiting to help, wanting to help. So all you got to do is ask. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. Don't kick your guitar again. No wonder the thing's out of tune all the time. Maybe it's not the guitar that was out of tune. Some of you will get that slower here in a second. You know, the Holy Spirit moved into you when you got saved, but he's not going to clamor for you. The old nature will. All those old songs are. The smell of the alcohol will. Or the stale smell of pot, which to me is disgusting. The smell of cigarette smoke. Ugh. Now, wait a minute. Some of you came from a smoking background, and the smell of it really affects you. Now, wait a minute. God says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Do you know the same Holy Spirit's available to you that was available to D.L. Moody? You know, that same Holy Spirit that was available to Charles Spurgeon is available to you and me. You know that the same Holy Spirit that was upon Billy Sunday is in you if you got saved? Yes. You know the same Holy Spirit that was in Dr. Lee Robertson is available to every saved person, you and me. Do you know the same Holy Spirit that was available to Lester Roloff, crazy wild man of God, is available to you and me? You know the same Holy Spirit that was available to Dr. Jack Hiles is available to you and me? I can't tell you how many times I'll look to God and say, God, not fair. You did it for all those men. How come you're not doing it for me? I've stood right here saying, God, there are other preachers that have built buildings. They've asked you, I need your help. It's not fair that you help them, not help us. By the way, God is helping us. Amen. About every time I do that, something comes around and God says, let me show you what I'm doing, son. Slap. It's the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that got me saved as a 4.5-year-old boy got a tough old bird saved a couple years ago and got you saved. The same one. Now, wait a minute. He's available to all of us the same way. We just have to ask him. Now, the Holy Spirit cannot and will not accept food that you're feeding the old creature, though. These churches that aren't preaching the real Bible, the real way,
with the real methods don't have the Holy Spirit. Listen to that again. Because he won't eat the food of the flesh. He won't eat the provision for the old creature. You have to feed him the new creature.
Let me finish with this. The best person in this room has what the worst person in this room is doing in them. You're just not yielding to the old nature right now. And the worst person in this room has available to them what the best person in this room has available to them. You're just not yielding to the new creature. It's available to you if you get saved. Let me ask you a question. Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die? First of all, you have to get saved. After you get saved, we got to quit with an old nature and start feeding that new nature. Start obeying the new nature by the Word of God. Hey, maybe you're a Christian. You've been saved. Maybe you haven't been living like it. Then it's time to start leaving the old creature and coming to the new creature more. That's what the struggle of the Christian life is all about. In 40 minutes, I just showed you probably the most important truth about the Christian life. Why do we struggle with it all the time? Because you're sinners. You have an old nature and you have a new nature. And whichever one you feed is the one that wins. The story of the old Indian that got saved. Told the missionary, he said, I have a war going on. He said, I have white dog and black dog inside. And they fight all the time. The missionary says, which one wins? He said, whichever one I feed wins. Boy, what a true story of what the Christian life's all about. You got the new nature versus the old nature. And whichever one you feed is the one that's going to win. By the way, just because you win once doesn't mean you won the whole thing. It's moment by moment, day by day, event by event. You're going to go back and forth, but let's be this new creature. Let's be more like the new creature than the old creature. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Please be honest for a moment. I'll be the only one looking. Who would say, preacher? And by the way, I'll never embarrass anybody. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I know that. Would you raise your hand? You may put your hands down. Thank you. Who'd say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. I'll not come to you. I'll not embarrass you. I just would like to pray for you. I'll not call your name. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that someday. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Somebody else? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in this sermon, the Holy Spirit, God himself, kind of just put a target on my head and just slapped me pretty good and hard. And there's something in that sermon that I needed today for me. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano will begin to play. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, if you're a lady, I'll have a lady take the Bible and show you how you can know. If you're a man, I'll have the man take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. If you've been saved and never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, we can care for that today. Maybe you'd like to join our church. You got to be saved, baptized to join the church. Maybe you just want to come to this old-fashioned altar, come as far forward as you can or kneel there in your chair